Tristan's going to pray for America to come back to the Lord. Is it not on?
Oh, is it on now? I think this was. Can you hear me now?
Just a minute. There we go.
What about now? Okay. So, I like prayer journals. I like it flows better for me when I write my prayers out in the mornings. And I like to be able to look back and look at my answered prayers and the faithfulness of God. And so I was thinking this morning, like, what would I say? And so it just started flowing. And I thought, well, man, that's kind of good. I'm just going to read that. And then if y'all allow me a little more time, I do want to pray for our children as well, because it's just heavy on my heart. In the work field that I'm in now, to pray for our children. So, Abba, our Lord, our God, we praise your holy name. All honor and glory to the Most High God. There is none other like you. Your love endures forever, and your mercies are new every morning. Your word says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We come before you now confessing we have sinned against you. Lord, we repent of pride, rebellion, injustice, and shedding innocent blood. We repent of calling good evil and evil good. We repent of complacency and compromise. Forgive us for trusting in man instead of you. Your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. We humble ourselves now. We ask you to cleanse us, remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. We know that judgment begins at the house of God. So search our hearts, O God. Know our thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in us and remove it. Remove the complacency and replace it with the holy fire and awe of God. Remove compromise and replace it with conviction. Expose hidden sin in us, whether we are new in faith and have been, or we have been walking with you for 40 years, that we may be cleansed, purified, and healed. We ask for a revival, Lord, in America. Pour out your spirit on us, both young and old, as you said you would in these last days. Break the spirit of pride and soften our hardened hearts. May we seek your face more than we seek reputation. Tear down every high place of idolatry in our hearts and in this nation. Dismantle every spiritual stronghold that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in America and in Owensboro. Let every hidden altar be exposed and every false foundation be uprooted by the authority of Jesus Christ. Put a hedge of protection around our nation and our children. Thank you for our president, Father God. Thank you that you have placed him in authority for such a time as this. We ask that you put a hedge of protection around him and that you surround him with people led by the Holy Spirit. Shut every voice that is not of you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give him godly wisdom and humble his heart that you may continue to use him. Bring conviction on this nation. Draw us back to you. Restore families. Restore reverence in your word and have mercy on America, not because we deserve it, but because you are merciful. And let revival begin with us. And for our children, I just want to say right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for any open doors that we have unknown or knowingly opened in our children, Father God. And we just bind every demonic spirit that's coming against our children. We bind the spirit of suicide. We bind the LGBTQ and transgender spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we decree and declare that no weapon formed against our children will prosper. We decree and declare that they will come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that they will know their calling and they will walk in their calling and they will be mighty men and women of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you all. Thank you for all those testimonies. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, amen. Let's be turning to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And we'll get started on this new subject that I've got going on here. It's called Overcomers in Christ. Overcomers in Christ. You know, there's a series of scriptures, and I'm sure that you've read them before, that speak of the blessing of those that overcome. And we in Christ Jesus are the overcomers in the Lord. I want you to know that God will overcome any and every obstacle that presents itself before you. He has called you in Him that you may overcome. And so we want to look at that calling of the Lord that is on our lives. We want to understand that we are to be a go-forward people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be a people who endure unto the end. So let's begin right here. We're going to begin in Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to begin down here in verse 7. As it says here, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes," and look at the promise of God. That's a condition that he has spoken of. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." You know, so we find that this is one of the major themes that we find in the New Testament is enduring unto the end, living an overcoming life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord will give us the power. He will give us the strength. But what we do is that we give Him the heart. We give Him the heart. We take upon the attitude of overcoming and going forward in the Lord. That word right there, that word for overcome, it is the Greek word nikao. That is N-I-K-A-O. And it means to conquer or to prevail. To conquer or to prevail. Its root word, you probably know, is the word Nike, N-I-K-E. You know, probably many of you have got a pair of shoes like that sitting in your closet, right? And that word means victory. It means victory. Now, I really want us to hear what the word of the Lord is saying to you and I, because the Lord never calls us to anything that He does not give us the power to be able to walk in. You know, this is a light. This is a revelation. There are many that walk after a passive spirit, many because they don't know any different. I entered into the kingdom of God. I got saved. And then the mentality becomes, well, if the Lord wants to do it, then the Lord can do that. And that's not a scriptural position for us in the Lord whatsoever. We have to reach out and we have to lay hold of that which has been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will speak of it more at another time, but it's called receiving from the Lord. You know, when Jesus was on the cross and He was about ready to give up His spirit, He was giving up His life. He gave His life for us. No one took His life from Him. And He said, "It is finished." You know, so we understand that the covenant of the Lord has been finished. The finished works of Jesus is what we enter into. The way that we enter into the finished works of Jesus is through the avenue of faith, that we believe upon the Lord, that we believe for what He has promised. We reach out and we lay hold of it in the Lord. Even if it looks so far away, even if I look like I am so far away from whatever it would be, but this is the way that we're brought into the promises of God. I can remember the first time that, you know, when it really started laying hold of me, the scriptural position that, well, I'm no longer a sinner according to Scripture because I'm in Jesus and I'm now called a saint. You know, and that felt very foreign to me. And I will tell you, the evil one will fight you tooth and nails every step of the way to keep you from laying hold of what God has done for you. You know, it's not a matter of being a hypocrite or anything else. It's a matter of believing, proclaiming, and receiving. You receive what the Lord has done for you even before it is made manifested. You know, the evil one will condemn you. He will attack you. He will accuse you in all sorts of different ways to cause you to back down and to stop your proclamation in the Lord. But anyway, I remember so clearly how awkward that I felt by beginning to say, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm talking about who I am by nature. You know, when the Word of God talks about that you're a sinner, that's who you are. That's who you are, and that's why you live that way. That's who you are, and that's why you live that way. You know, when you come into Jesus, you are no longer a sinner by nature. You're living in an overcoming way in the Lord. You're called to be a conqueror. You're called to prevail in the Lord. You're called into the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. let me give this scripture to us real quick. In 1 John 5:4, you probably know it well. For whatever is born of God, we talk about being born again. We must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. It says right here, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You know that scripture very well. So do you see how we're led into that victory? We're entering into the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that is our pathway of going forward. We're entering into that new man of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another one with that, as well as I talked about, you know, being a saint, you know, being holy. Well, I don't feel like I'm holy, but you know, as you begin to proclaim, say, Lord, I'm going to believe what you've said. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint before the Lord. And you know, a whole avenue begins to open up to you of your acceptance before the throne of God. You begin to understand that I'm not in that old man. I'm not in Adam anymore. I may not feel any different to me. I may not seem like I'm any different, but I begin to proclaim the word of the Lord over my life, and I begin to see the power of Almighty God that begins to transform. You know, that's what we've inherited in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're not a people to be reformed. There's too much of that is replaced the miracle working power of God in the church today. We've got all kinds of reform programs, and we excluded the power of God in the midst of it. Everything's a 12-step program now. That's fine and good, but where is the miracle working power of Almighty God? Where is the transforming power of Almighty God? Where is I'm no longer, old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Where are they? Where are they? You know, and that's the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid the price for our sins. Jesus paid the price so that we could be made clean, so that we could be made holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm not changing myself. He's changing me. He's changing me. You know, so we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaim the miracle working power of Almighty God, that He is a Savior, that He is a healer, that He is a deliverer. You know, this is the overcoming path that we follow on in the Lord. And I'll tell you, when you begin to take it upon your heart and you begin to realize, now wait a minute, you know, I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to be like that anymore. Where before you felt like, well, I just can't help it. That's just is who I am. And, you know, that thing is more powerful than me. It, you know, that thing is way too powerful. You might be right. It might be too powerful for you, but it's not too powerful for the living God. And so the transforming power is something we experience not only at being born again. It's not only in being born again, but it's going forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we're called the overcomers. And so there, and then that opens up another avenue. So I begin to believe God. I say, Lord God, Lord, I don't have to be like that. I don't have to have that sin. That sin is not, it's more powerful than me, but it's not more powerful than you, and it's not more powerful than the promise that you've given me or the power of the blood of Jesus. You know, so we begin to believe God for what we don't see. We believe to begin to believe God for what we don't have. We believe to be God, believe God for what we're not. And as we begin to believe God and receive it, then the power of the Holy Spirit, He begins to bring that transforming power. Now, you know, sometimes things are laid down all at once. Sometimes it's a pathway of laying things down. Sometimes being transformed from what I was into being more like Him is a work of grace that takes place, is a permeating work of the power of the Holy Spirit to change the heart. And when the heart is being changed, then the desires are being changed, and the mind is being changed, and the way is being changed. This is the way that the Lord works. This is why it's called maturity, spiritual maturity. That's why it's also called a walk. It's a walk that we have in the Lord. You know, so I begin to realize, glory to God, you know, I've been called to be an overcomer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that I can't overcome. And when you take on that heart attitude and you put your eyes on Jesus, you'll find a renewed power that will come into your life because you're no longer looking to yourself. You're no longer looking to self-discipline. You're no longer looking to willpower or some ability within yourself. Your expectation is in the promise of God. And I'll tell you what will happen is that you'll find things just lifting up off of you. I mean, one day you'll get up and, you know, and you've been a slave or you've been in bondage to whatever it would be. You've been fighting, you've been wrestling, whatever it was. And you may feel like that, you know, the Lord's not hearing my prayers. He's not answering my prayers. You know, why hasn't God moved this thing out of my life? Because we like whammo-zammo, right? That's what we like. We like whammo-zammo, you know, like I prayed it and 5 minutes later, why hadn't it gone, God? You know, why had it gone? You know, and you know, the evil one wants you to become impatient about the move of the Lord within your own life. You know, so that you'll give up your expectation before the Lord. Let the Lord have His way. You know, He's doing things. He's faithful and He's true. And He heard your prayer. And He will bring forth the promise of Almighty God. You will find transforming power. You will find renewing power. You'll find a change of heart. You'll find a change of mind. You'll find a change in perspective. Many times these things that God brings us to that point, and then all of a sudden there's just a change that comes. And, you know, and there wasn't, you know, any announcement for it in the beginning. You know, there wasn't any introduction to it. It's just all of a sudden things have now changed. And the timing of God came forth when He desired it. Many times the Lord is doing things within our heart before we see the finished product of the manifestation of the promise. So we walk after this overcoming way. Let's go to another one here. Let's go over here if we would. That is in chapter 2, verse 7. Let's go on down here if we would. Let's look at for example, let me go here. Let's look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, in the same chapter, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. That's a pretty good promise right there, isn't it? You know, glory to God. You know, we don't have a real clue, do we? You know, that the Bible talks about the second death is such a fearful thing. The second death is such a fearful thing. You know, I would think, you know, the first death without Jesus is enough, right? That's bad enough, isn't it? You know, but the Word of God talks about of such a soberness of this, of the second death. The second death. You know, but glory to God. He who overcomes, it says right here in the word of the Lord, he overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So I want to be on that overcoming avenue and way before the Lord. It's a mentality. It's a heart. It's an attitude. It's a perspective that we understand that we've been called to walk in this overcoming way. That no matter where you are today, the Lord Jesus wants to do more. I don't care how many years you've been saved. It's not like been there, done that. If you got a been there, done that attitude, you're not walking in an overcoming way. You're not walking in an overcoming way. You know, the Lord takes us on in more of Him, more in His holiness, more in His truth, more in His likeness, more in His fellowship and relationship with Him. And I could go on and on and on. There's always an avenue of more for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I just love it. It's such a wonderful, sweet thing to walk in a fellowship with the Lord. It's such a wonderful, sweet thing for things to be fresh and the things to be new. Not living old hat, right? Not living, been there, done that, living in old hat. Well, you know, I've been saved for 25 years. I've read the Bible 6 times through. Big deal. Big deal, right? It's a living fellowship and communion with Him where He gives you sweet fellowship every day. Every day. You know, what a wonderful blessing that is. Let's go on from there. I want to come over here to, now if we'd look over here, let's come on down here and look at verse 25. 25 says in the same chapter, nevertheless, what you have, look, this was really on my heart. Hold fast until the end. You know, so you understand that, you know, it's not about, I've been there, done that. You know, oh, I got saved, you know, been there, done that. Now, let me go on. I got eternity dealt with, got my card stamped. You know, right now I'll go do what I like to do. You know, go live for me, you know. You know, and the greatest deception is when you live for me, but you're not really doing what the world calls all that bad stuff. It's still living for me. It's still living for me. Right? So we need to understand what the word of the Lord calls us into. He says, nevertheless, what you have, look at this. This is very sober to me. Hold fast until I come. So I want to walk in an overcoming way, and I want to endure unto the end in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's verse 26. And he who overcomes, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Well, this is quite a promise right here. Here's verse 27. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. That's an incredible, an amazing promise that's right there in the word of the Lord. You know, I want to just look here for just a minute. And I had just been reading right before that. I ran into this, and I know you've read this before. You know, our destiny in Jesus, and we go on and be with the Lord. And there will be a time when we will have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then the saints of God will come with the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will enter into the 1,000-year reign. The millennial period, and where we, the saints of God, will reign with Him. That's our destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we shall rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read this to you. Just listen to it, if you don't mind. This comes from 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 6. Here's what verse 2 says. Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest of law courts? You know, and he's talking about what was going on was there was lawsuits between brethren. They were living like the world, you know, and they got their eyes off of who they really are. And they got their eyes off of that which is to come in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the real point of the whole thing there is that don't turn away from keeping your heart clean. That was the real point right there. You're getting entangled into so much that's going to defile your heart, you saints of God. Then that's who he's talking to right there, that you need to get your eyes back upon the prize. You need to get your eyes back upon living an overcoming life in the Lord Jesus Christ and not taking the bait of the evil one to walk after evil, every evil, wicked thing that comes down the pike that you don't like being the way that you don't want it to be. Right? And they said, do you not know that we're going to judge the world? Let me go on and read there a minute. There's another place. It's in verse 3, and it says this. Listen to this. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more matters in this life? My goodness. See, we're to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're to live for the Lord. We're to live for eternity is what we're to live for. We're not to live for as the world does. The world lives for today. The world lives for today. We're not to take on to ourselves as the saints of God the way that the world lives. We're to be a separate people. We're to be a holy people. We're to be a people for God's own possession. This is what the word of the Lord teaches us. And this is the overcomer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on to another place real quick here. Over here in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3. Let's go over there just a minute. In Revelation chapter 3. Look at a few places that we find this. Look down here. Verse 5 says, in Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes thus shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Right? You know, so I just want to simply say, you know, if he promises that he will not erase our name from the book of life, then that means that our name can be erased from the book of life. Or he wouldn't tell you, I will not erase your name from the book of life. You know, that's very important that we understand that. You know, so I'm living in that overcoming way in the Lord. I know that I can overcome in him. I know that I can overcome in him. What is overcoming? To conquer, to prevail, and victory. To conquer and to prevail and victory. Let me read that again in verse 5. And I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, there's a very fearful scripture that says, if you will not confess me before men, then neither will I confess you before my heavenly Father. You have to make a decision for Jesus. You have to make a decision who you're going to be. You have to make a decision that you're going to love the Lord. You have to make a decision that you're going to follow the Lord with all of your heart. You know, and when you make that decision, the Holy Spirit begins to lead you in that overcoming way in the Lord. You know, there's so many Christians professing Christians. It's very disturbing. A lot of what is even presented today in the church is that you just confess Jesus, but you don't have to have a changed life. You just confess Jesus and you don't have to. You believe in Jesus, so you're safe and everything's okay. But, you know, you don't have to have a changed life. And nothing could be further from the truth. Because really, true believing brings about a changed life. True believing brings about a changed life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. And I don't want to be who I was yesterday. Right? You know, because that's called having a heart after God. You know, it's called having a heart after God. That is the true remnant that will endure unto the end. This is a doctrine all the way through the word of the Lord from the Old Testament into the New Testament, that it's only a remnant that shall be saved. It's only a remnant that shall be saved. There'll be many on that day that will say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. You know? And so we understand these things. And that brings us into, as we were looking at last week, this fear of the Lord. I'm going to talk more about the fear of the Lord at a later date. You know, but that's all part of the overcoming power of Almighty God. He will keep us. That's also the promise of the Lord. He will keep us. Everything that you commit to him, he will keep. If you commit to him what you can't control, he will control it. If you will commit to him what you cannot keep from doing, he will take it. Whatever you give to him, he will take it. Whatever is not of him, you put it in his hands, and he will overcome it. And he will bring forth the calling of Almighty God, which is to be that conqueror, the one that prevails. You will enter into the victories of the Lord Jesus Christ that you could never accomplish through your own power, your own might, your own ability, nor any other way. Well, let me read on just a little bit more here, and then I'm going to close this for this time. And then let's look at again at another place here, coming down in verse 12 here in chapter 3. Verse 12 says, he who overcomes, I will make him, look at this, a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. Hallelujah. And I will write, look at this, I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my Father, and my new name. Verse 13 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, what wonderful, glorious promises that the Lord has given us in his word. Come on back up here into another verse in the same chapter. I want us to look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Then he goes on in verse 3 and he says, remember therefore what you have received and hear and keep it and repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. You can be prepared. You know that? You can be prepared. You can be prepared when it's your turn to go, and you can be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And I'm not saying that you will know exactly what day or whatever, but the more you draw closer to the Lord and it's time for you, the more the Lord will speak to you and prepare you. You know, when we go from this life, it's not like you enter into a death tunnel. I'm talking about saints. I'm talking about people who have a relationship with the Lord. I'm talking about people who walk with God, all right? You know, so, you know, it's not a matter of entering into some dark tunnel. The Lord will lead us every step of the way to our heavenly home, whenever that time may come. And then also that we may be prepared for the coming of the Lord at whenever hour that he does come. And that it will not overcome us like a thief. You know, we will be watching and we will be waiting. We will be living in that place of serving the Lord. Kathy, I'm going to ask you all to come on, if you would.